Here's Pastor Alan Wright with today's blessing, a biblical faith-filled vision for your life.
Your hardships aren't defeating you. They're making you stronger. Paul explains it plainly. We rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not put us to shame. Romans 5:3-5. So you're like an NFL football player in spring training. No one's on the field right now. No touchdown passes are being tossed. No last second field goals being kicked. But the days in the weight room, hidden days of strain and pain, build the muscle that wins games on bright fall afternoons. Every hardship you face gives you the chance to persevere. And every time you persevere, you put muscle into your character and change on the inside. And then you become a person of hope who sees a bright future. So I bless you to rejoice at the hardships and trials and every challenge, because tomorrow you're stronger.
Pastor, author, and Bible teacher Alan Wright.
There are thousands of fans there, and they just love the Faster Pastor race. And they can't wait for this sideshow to start. And I'm starting to realize it's because this is not a race. This is bumper buses out here. And I'm sitting there. They come and they strap me into all these things and all these roll bars. And my first thought was, I'm just going to lag behind, let a Pentecostal win, and go home.
That's Pastor Alan Wright. Welcome to another message of good news that will help you see your life in a whole new light. I'm Daniel Britt, excited for you to hear the teaching today in the series, The Power to Bless, taken from Pastor Alan's book of the same title and as presented at Renolda Church in North Carolina. If you're not able to stay with us throughout the entire program, I want to make sure you know how to get our special resource right now. It can be yours for your donation this month to Alan Wright Ministries. As you listen to today's message, go deeper as we send you today's special offer. Contact us at PastorAlan.org or call 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. More on that later in the program. But now, let's get started with today's teaching. Here is Alan Wright.
My dear friends, brothers and sisters, beloved in the Lord, are you ready for some good news?
Yes.
When you are in Christ, you belong to God. He came for you. He adopted you. And He's never going to let you go. And what this means is that every morsel of spiritual nourishment that you receive, every seed of faith that you sow, and every ounce of energy that you spend can be rooted in that one assurance that you have been adopted by God. It is the primary image of what it means to be a Christian in the Bible. And to be adopted means you are secure. And nothing can ever separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We are doing about 6 weeks here in a series called The Power to Bless, which is the name of a new book that I've written that's just come out. And, you know, it's so fun to talk with my own family about a book that I've really is a life message, and that we here for 25 plus years have been practicing. So I feel like it's our message, not just mine. I feel like I'm a spokesperson. And so thank you for your partnership and faith for getting this message out. It was a real funny thing that some of you may remember. In the fall, I went on for weeks about the saga of the groundhogs I was having trouble capturing in my backyard. Maybe you remember there were two of them. And then I hired a wildlife professional to help me, and we caught eventually one of them. The other remained roaming free, and I put some wire around the back porch where they'd been digging, so at least he wouldn't be digging right under my house. But he hibernated somewhere, and this week, there he is again, grazing happily in the backyard. Chubbier than ever, the groundhog, and I have no idea how to catch them. My neighbor texts me, says, "Hey, I see two groundhogs are back out." I said, "Oh man, I've only seen one. You know, there must be a whole family again." So it's Groundhog Day all over again. Well, I was telling all these stories through the fall, you know, and also we were talking about Pray With Us. We have a book on blessing going to be released in February, and I hadn't even noticed it until Leah Wheeler texted me one day, and she said, "Are you kidding me?" I said, "What?" She said, "Your book's being released on Groundhog Day." And it was just so funny. It's like, these groundhogs I can't get rid of. And of course, there's a famous Bill Murray movie, Groundhog Day, that's about every day keeps coming back over and over. And so I've been laughing about this. But you know, God does little things like that because he likes a good laugh and he's prophetic. But I never had seen anything prophetic. But this week, I was just, I looked out there, I saw the groundhog, and I was like, "Groundhog, you just keep coming back." And I really felt like, and I want somebody to agree with me in the spirit, power of blessing, you just keep coming back. The devil could try to put you down. It might seem like it hibernates for a little while or a little season, but it just keeps coming back. And I think that this is something that God wants, not just through a book I had the privilege of writing, but just through the body of Christ, to take something that is as old as time. The very first thing God did was to bless Adam and Eve and then release them into their fruitfulness and dominion in the earth. And what we've been exploring is an ancient blessing where Jacob does a strange thing when he blesses his grandsons. He crosses his arms and he puts the strong right hand onto the younger grandson's head, Ephraim. And we've already looked at this. It's sort of the pinnacle of all blessing, is to see that it really is about God, in a sense, crossing his arms in the heavenly and taking the right hand of blessing, the strong blessing that should have been reserved only for Jesus, and extending it to the second born, which is us. And so we have received the blessing that should have been for the firstborn, for Jesus only. And I just have been thinking for many years about this blessing, Ephraim and Manasseh, because every Friday evening on Sabbath for 3,700 years, faithful Jewish dads have been blessing their kids, saying, "May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh." And nobody seems to know why. And that's the lens through which I've come to understand the essentials of all blessing, because if it's something that God mandated for fathers to speak to their sons, it must be really important. And we've looked at those crossed arms, and then we spent 5 weeks talking about really the name Manasseh, which means forgotten all my troubles. So part of it, if I say, "May God make you like Ephraim and Manasseh," the first part of that, to really the deepest part, is God's crossed his arms and shown you favor. May you have the favor that you don't deserve. And grace be the whole power of your life. And Manasseh means forgotten all the troubles. So we spent 5 weeks talking about what would it be like to live as if you'd forgotten all your troubles. What would it be like to live from now on? And today I want to talk about another dimension of what I think God had in mind when he said, "May God make you as Ephraim and Manasseh," to be the most important family blessing in Israel's history. And it is this unusual thing that Jacob does when he prepares to bless Ephraim and Manasseh. We read about it in Genesis chapter 48, and we're going to read this account again. It starts at verse 1. After this, Joseph was told, "Behold, your father is ill." So he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And it was told to Jacob, "Your son Joseph has come to you." Then Israel, that's the new name for Jacob, summoned his strength and sat up in bed. And Jacob said to Joseph, "God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me and said to me, 'Behold, I will make you fruitful and multiply you, and I will make you a company of peoples and will give this land to your offspring after you for an everlasting possession.'" Just pause there and just realize this is what's happened to Jacob in his old age. Finally, he's understanding that he's been blessed. He didn't understand that for most of his life. He always struggled for it. Verse 5, "And Jacob said, 'And now your two sons,'" speaking to Joseph, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon, those are Jacob's sons, two of his sons, are. And the children that you fathered after them shall be yours. They shall be called by the name of their brothers and their inheritance. As for me, when I came to Paddan, to my sorrow, Rachel died in the land of Canaan on the way, when there was still some distance to go to Ephrath. And I buried there on the way to Ephrath, that is Bethlehem. And when Israel, Jacob, saw Joseph's sons, he said, "Who are these?" And Joseph said to his father, "These are my sons, whom God has given me here." And he said, "Bring them to me, please, that I may bless them." I want to focus you in on this really breathtaking moment in this moving scene at verse 5. When Jacob said, "And now your two sons, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. Ephraim and Manasseh shall be mine, as Reuben and Simeon are." What Jacob did here is shocking. He legally adopted them. This is such of the power of the effect of words of a patriarch. He said, "They are now, from now on, as if my own sons." And as you probably know, it is the 12 sons of Jacob that become the 12 tribes of Israel. And it is ultimately amongst those tribes that the land of Canaan, the promised land, is divided up into various inheritance. So this means that Ephraim and Manasseh are now treated as equal heirs amongst the tribes of Israel.
That's Alan Wright. And we'll have more teaching in a moment from today's important series.
This month's featured resource from Pastor Alan is The Untroubled Heart, a powerful digital bundle including audio messages and a digital study guide. In this series, Pastor Alan unpacks Jesus' promise from John 14:27. "I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid." With practical insight and biblical encouragement, you'll discover how to quiet anxious thoughts and rest in Christ's peace that endures. When you give today to support Alan Wright Ministries, we'll send you the Untroubled Heart digital bundle as our thanks.
Come to our website, pastoralan.org.
Today's teaching now continues. Here once again is Alan Wright.
Some of you may remember, I can't believe it was this long ago because it feels fresh in my memory, 2012, I think it was, that Daniel Brett, who is our radio announcer and for 14 years until just recently was the manager of the Joy FM network, and I was sort of staff pastor to that radio station, and he said that they have a little thing they sponsor that he'd like for me to consider participating in. It is a little fun race at the Charlotte Motor Speedway. I said, "What? I've never even been to a NASCAR event. I wasn't even good at Hot Wheels. What are you talking about?" He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, you're going to not be driving a car. You'll be driving a bus, a school bus." I said, "A school bus?" I said, I don't know how to drive a school bus." He said, "Oh, it's just fun. It's called the Faster Pastor Race." I said, "What?" I don't know what overtook me. I just said, "Okay, yeah." And I told my wife, I said, "I'm going to race a school bus at the Charlotte Motor Speedway." And so we went down there on that night. It was drizzling rain. And, you know, I just went down there. We're just in some jeans, you know, went in. And we pulled up. And I said, "I'm a pastor. I'm in the Faster Pastor Race." They said, "Oh, you need to go around the back of the stadium." And they directed me in through the entrance that the race car drivers come in through. And we just drove right into the infield of this epic race car stadium. And went in. I have no idea what I'm supposed to do. And the they gave us a little orientation that was woefully inadequate. They gave us a hot dog. And I was like, you know, are they going to give us some instructions? And all he said was, "Listen, if you want to take the bus out and just ride it around the infield a little bit to get a feeling for the air brakes, you know, you're welcome to do that a couple minutes before the race. Here's a helmet. Here's an earpiece, radio earpiece for your ear." And I'm looking around, you know, and I'm like, "What is this?" Because several of the pastors have on full racing suits. like, what is this? I thought there was going to be a question and answer time in the orientation. And like, I had some questions like, why do we need an earpiece? What are air brakes? How do you drive a school bus? And can I leave now? But there was no real question and answer time. And we go out to get into the bus that they let everybody, you know, each ministry paint. And you can't really see it as well in this photo. But if you look a little closer, there's stuff dangling off of it. The whole thing is dented in. All the buses look like they've been crashed. And I'm like, why are they so dented? And then when I got in and I saw all these roll bars over me and a traditional race 5-point harness that was going to go around me, and I'm like, what am I doing in this thing? I honestly didn't even know what air brakes were. I'd never driven a school bus. I had no idea. I did talk to a real race car driver who was going to be in the real race that night. We were just a sideshow. And he gave me a couple pointers. I'm like, yeah, right. It's wet out there. And I get into this thing. There are thousands of fans there, and they just love the Faster Pastor race. And they can't wait for this sideshow to start. And I'm starting to realize it's because this is not a race. This is bumper buses out here. And I'm sitting there. They come and they strap me into all these things and all these roll bars. And I'm first thought was, I'm just going to lag behind, let a Pentecostal win, and go home. My wife said she was up in the stands and she was talking to people and they were saying, has your husband ever raced or anything? And she said, no. They started me in last place. You know, I was the last in line. It was. And she was like, no, he hadn't, but he's got this competitive thing in him. So it's going to be interesting. And I was sitting there like, I just don't want to die tonight. But I hate losing. I hate losing. And so I was sitting there and it was sort of, gentlemen, start your engines and we're there. And the radio was here and all of a sudden started crackling and I couldn't hear them anymore. And I'm out here with I've got nobody in my ear. I got nothing. I don't know what we're doing. And I just thought, what am I going to do about it? And all of a sudden this thought, I felt this strap. I looked at all these roll bars and this thought hit me. Alan, you are probably not going to die tonight. I don't think they bring the pastors down here to die on this racetrack. I'm in a bus, I got roll bars, I got a thing. And when I realized I'm not going to die, I just said, you know what? Then I'm going for it. It was so fun. It was actually one of the most thrilling things I ever did. I mean, I was started in last place, but I worked my way up to fourth. And y'all, the buses, they were hitting each other. They spun out. Twice they had to stop and come and tow a bus off of the track. Some people were running over cones and dragging them around the whole time. I was glad just to make it out of there. But as soon as you realize in life that you're strapped in and you're secure, that is when you can put the pedal to the metal.
Yeah.
It's when you're insecure that you're going to just lag back. And I think that the power of blessing is in part this. It's like when we release the love and acceptance that is in Jesus Christ, it's like we're strapping people into God's love. And it's completely countercultural. Because in the world, blessing is withheld like a carrot that's dangled in front of us to try to get you to run faster. If you'll win the race, then you'll be blessed. And it's not the way of God. Because what that produces in us is insecurity, fear. And insecurity is at the root of most of our problems. When people are secure, everything is different. There is, 1 John 4:18, no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear. For fear has to do with punishment. You didn't win the race. And whoever fears has not been perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. The answer to insecurity and fear is perfect love. The more secure that someone is in the love of God, the less fear they will have. And when we have security, that's when we can really live out the life that God's designed for us to live.
Alan Wright. Today's good news message, blessed to be secure, from the teaching, The Power to Bless. And Pastor Alan is back with us in the studio, sharing his parting good news thought for the day in just a moment.
This month's featured resource from Pastor Alan is The Untroubled Heart, a powerful digital bundle, including audio messages and a digital study guide. In this series, Pastor Alan unpacks Jesus' promise from John 14:27. I leave you peace. My peace I give you. I do not give it to you as the world does. So don't let your hearts be troubled or afraid. With practical insight and biblical encouragement, you'll discover how to quiet anxious thoughts and rest in Christ's peace that endures. When you give today to support Alan Wright Ministries, we'll send you the Untroubled Heart digital bundle as our thanks.
Call us at 877-544-4860. That's 877-544-4860. Or come to our website, PastorAlan.org.
Back now sitting with Pastor Alan in the studio with our parting good news thought for the day. And yours truly, I made the sermon. And I'll give you a tip. If you want to make your pastor's sermon, I suppose, put their life in jeopardy. With the faster pastor race, that's one that we won't forget. But there's a good message there about the security that once you got over the fear and you realized I'm probably not really going to die, there's a newfound security.
Well, you know, it's like so many things, Daniel, where you do something in life that at first you go, wait a minute, I'm feeling terrified by this and completely inadequate. And then later you look back and go, well, that was about one of the most fun things I've done. When we left the Charlotte Motor Speedway after the Faster Pastor race, that you so coolly and calmly led me into, just the way you presented it was just so, oh, this could be, what problem is there with this? But I got so nervous about driving a school bus on the Charlotte Motor Speedway. But when we were leaving, I was talking to my family. I said, how was it? I said, that's one of the greatest things I ever did. So I think life's like that, right? So part of what we do when we bless people is we are actually empowering them to face some challenges that they wouldn't face otherwise. We're empowering people to feel secure enough to risk some things. No one dares greatly if they don't ultimately have a undergirding of security. No one takes steps towards a radical plan for their life that God may have called them to, except they feel that they're safe in God's love. And so when we bless people, we're helping to strap them into God's love, just like that five-point harness surrounding me under all those roll bars in the school bus and the faster pastor race. Once you realize I'm strapped in well enough, just put the pedal to the metal and go.
I think the order of the phrase blessed to be secure is very important because you wouldn't want to just wait for security in order to then say, okay, well, now then you can be blessed.
Well, just think about life itself, how backwards we get this. We think, let me go out here and make enough money, then I'll be secure. Let me get enough friends, and then I'll be secure. Let me get enough approval in the eyes of others, and then I'll finally feel secure. Let me make sure that I have all of my circumstances just fine. See, it's backwards. And what God does is he wants us just to know, regardless of what you see with your eyes around you, that you're secure in his love. You can never, ever be rejected by God and Jesus Christ. You belong to him. And so he wants you to know you're secure because you're blessed. And when we bless others, when we co-labor with God, collaborate with God to bless others, that's a big part of what we're doing. We're saying it's like we're helping you understand that you're secure in the Lord. And I just think the world does the opposite of that most of the time. World's always like dangling it in front of you like, I don't want you to feel secure because if you're insecure and a little bit afraid, then maybe you'll run faster for me. Maybe you'll work harder for me. And people will jump a little higher if you dangle acceptance in front of them. But in the end, it makes them insecure. And when we're insecure, we end up really shrinking back from life ultimately.
Today's good news message is a listener-supported production of Alan Wright Ministries.